I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, want to talk about tonight, you know, reasons why we need to increase the importance of increasing the manifestations of the presence and power of God in our lives, personal lives, and also, church services like this, you know. We need to have God manifest. The Bible says there's Christians, churches, who claim they know God, but they don't know Him in some ways, because they seem to lack the power of God in their lives. And then we need to demonstrate, but at least we're cooperating with God. And if we don't understand God, how can we cooperate with Him? So that's one thing that we need to. So I want to share like three reasons why the manifestations of the power of God is not there. So just to remind us again. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's go read chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. We'll just read a section there. I want to read that, and then if you would go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to read three verses there. Let's go to that chapter first, chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, and then we'll carry on there. And then we're going to pray. Paul's talking to the church at Corinth. And he said, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, nor of the wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." If you notice, he said, when I came with a demonstration. A demonstration. He came with an evidence that God was on him. He came with a surety, just like Jesus, that God was operating on his life. And if you'll read the Amplified, you'll begin to see this later in other verses of Scripture here. He says, let's notice that again, the end of that verse 4. He said, but I came to you, my speech and preaching came to you, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And why? Because verse 5 tells us that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we need to have faith in the power of God. We need to reciprocate and anticipate, first of all, what God wants to do in our personal lives and the life of any ministry. Two things. We need to expect something from God. We need to be ready for God, you know, and we need to cooperate with God. We need to learn to cooperate with Him, and if He's going to manifest Himself, we're going to be able to cooperate with Him. Now, I want you to understand that everyone here, it's important to everybody here that this happens. This is not just for a few experts. This is not just for the Bible scholar. You know, because sometimes, you know, I look around these young guys, they might think, well, maybe it's not for me. No, it's for you. When I was a brand new Christian, you know, very, very new, and the power of God started to manifest in my life, I'm going to tell you why it happened that way for me. And it was crucial that it happened to me because God wanted to do some things in my life. I would have never met my wife. So pay very close attention, because you could be listening to your flesh and get married to the wrong woman. And fight all your life about coming to church. Fight all your life about paying tithes. Fight all your life about agreeing in prayer for something. Fight all your life what church you're going to go to. Come on now. This is all important. Everything here is important, the way we're teaching. Because you need the Spirit more than anything else. This gifts of the Spirit will operate in your prayer life. When you need to have direction and you need wisdom to make decisions. This is all important. And it could save your life from avoiding bad situations where things could kill you and destroy your life. And so we'll see, I've learned from the gift of the Spirit that this is possible, that the Holy Spirit can help you avoid tragedy. Investing in your money and losing all your money. And so we need to pay attention to God. This is not just for experts. God wants that. He's just for little spurts too. Amen. It's for everybody. Everybody say, it's for me. Now, I want you to see here, we're going to look at that, but I want to see other things where Paul mentioned that this is without question pivotal. That there's two things that the Spirit, God wants us to know. First of all, Jesus said, I'm going to send another person just like me in John chapter 14, John chapter 15, and John chapter 16. Jesus begins to introduce the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm going to send somebody just like me. I don't know if you notice this in your own life. And I've noticed that in my own life. And I was a little bit kind of needed some doctrinal correction and affirmation in my own life. And whenever I heard the Spirit of God speak, I thought Jesus is talking to me. And when the Holy Spirit was talking to me, and whenever I had a manifestation of the Spirit, it was like Jesus himself was talking to me. When the Lord gave me direction to go into ministry, Jesus was sitting right beside me in my car. I didn't see him with my eyes, but I know it was Jesus sitting there because the Holy Spirit manifested himself and told me by the word of knowledge that he was there. And he can show you different things. I didn't understand those things. The first thing the Holy Spirit showed me that Jesus was alive when I got born again and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. That Jesus was alive. I saw a tomb that was empty. The empty tomb, he showed me that he's alive. He's not here. He's gone. He was raised from the dead. And if you notice here, I want you to pay attention to this, 1 Corinthians 14. He said, my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Two things there. He said there's a demonstration or a display of two things. Number one is the Spirit and then power. There's two things about that. The Spirit he's talking about is the ways in which he will speak to you. And secondly, there was a demonstration of the way in which he speaks to you. First of all, that he'll talk to you in such a way that you're convinced without question that God's talking to you and leading you through the gifts of the Spirit. Secondly, it's demonstrations of, you begin to see a display, physical manifestation of the display of God. You know, you just take a common thing, you just see a healing, a miracle of healing, not just a sore, like a headache or something like that, but an actual display of power where someone came in a wheelchair, he walks out without the wheelchair. Someone without sight walks out with sight. You know, that's amazing. That's a display of God's power. You say, man, you know, that guy was a man of God. You know, remember that guy in John chapter 5 where he was raised, I think it's chapter 6 or 5 of John? He was blind all his life, I believe it was. Jesus, he was sitting there, you know, Jesus came and healed him. I guess he said, go wash in a pool of Siloam, or Shalom, however you want to say it. Okay, Shalom. And he was... Go wash in a pool of Siloam. Shalom. Okay? Let's not argue about how to. I'm just kidding. Anyway, Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And so the guy said, what if the guy, you know, like there's an argument that if the man says, you know, Jesus, listen, you know, I want to go. I mean, I could just, let me just go somewhere else. Anyway, let's not skip that part. Anyway, and he went there and the guy was healed. And then the people talked to him after. He said, well, how did you get, what happened to you? He said, well, a guy named Jesus, he said, go to wash in a pool over there, and I'd be healed. He never saw all his life. Suddenly, he's seeing. I mean, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. A miracle of healing, specifically. I'm stuck right here. I don't know what's going on, but there's a shift in the spirit here. Go walk, go wash the pool. So he went and came seeing. They say, who did that? He said, Jesus. And they said, well, how could a man make you heal you like that? He said, well, I don't know. All I know is this: once I was once blind, now I see. That's proof enough. They were trying to argue that Jesus wasn't of God. The Jewish people, they were saying that Jesus was not God. At that particular place, you know, Jesus, and he came and healed that man. He said, nobody could. And they said, you know, no. And the guy said to him, you know, how come you can talk to us like that? You're a sinner. And we know that God doesn't use sinners. He said, but I don't know if he's a sinner or not. But I know that God doesn't use sinners to heal people. That's proof. And so we need to, you know, invest in ourselves and to at least give it a shot to try to believe the Bible, if there's such a thing. I mean, we need to believe the Bible because we need to be taught. So I'm going to show you three things why people don't believe. So he said his preaching, that he was not alone. He was demonstrating the spirit and the power. That people's faith will not be in just man, but in God himself. In God alone. Now, if you would turn this into the Amplified Bible, verse 4, and I want you to see something here because Paul, he was not such a great speaker, but he had the Spirit of God on him. You know, don't worry if you're not a good speaker, because if God's on you, he'll make something out of you. Now here, did you find that up there, Pastor Dave? Did you got the Amplified Bible? Let's see if we got the Amplified Classical. Or not, or just regular. Verse 5. He said, my language and my message were not set forth in persuasive, enticing, plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. Notice that it says, a proof by the Spirit and power of God operating on me, stirring in the minds of my hearers the most holy emotions and thus persuading them. I remember going into meetings where I've seen people, you know, that for the first time in my life, I was in a formal church. We've never seen anything like it. We never had altar calls. We've never had anybody lift their hands on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday or whatever service. We've never had anybody say, hallelujah, Sunday morning. We never saw an altar call. We never saw one healing on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a special service or a Christmas service. Never saw one healing. Then I got born again through a Baptist ministry, went to a Pentecostal church, and a man by the name of Bill Prankard in a service, I went to a service, and I did not know who this man was, and I was just amazed. I was like a little baby, a little boy in a candy store watching what he was doing. I was so intrigued by what he was doing. It was a Pentecostal church, and I was always taught not to go to a Pentecostal church. They're crazy. And I found some of them were crazy, but most of them weren't. And so I was stirred, my emotions were stirred, and I was persuaded that God was on that man. Just like the man at the poolside, he was healed. He said, I don't know what happened. But I know this man healed me. So you can't you cannot contradict or argue with the fact that when God's operating on somebody, you can't argue with it. You know that there's something extra there. So we cannot operate this without the Spirit. We need the gifts of the Spirit in operation. He said that our faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want you to see over here, let's go to the book of Romans. Since Romans is a few pages over here. If you turn to Romans chapter 15, and let's go to read, is it 19? Romans chapter 15, verse 19. Paul is talking to the Romans. I want you to understand something here, that every church he established, he didn't establish it by getting a few engineers together and planning committee. I mean, you have to have those, but he didn't start that way. He came with a move of the Spirit. And I think sometimes we forget the fact that we need God in every area of our lives. If God's not in it, you might as well forget about it. If you're chasing after somebody, something, or some project, and it's all about money, you might as well forget about it, because you're gonna end up hurting yourself. Notice he says here, Romans 15. Let's go to verse 18 first. For I will dare to speak, not to dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Notice that through mighty signs and wonders, by the Spirit and of the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel. Now that's a full gospel preacher. A full gospel preacher is someone who has the demonstrations and power of God in his life. He's not just a good Bible school graduate from a good university or college, established college, and he has letters behind his name, but someone who has actually a demonstration of God on him. He said he came there, he said, through mighty signs and wonders, he'd make the Gentiles known. So if we're going to reach out to our city, we need this power. We need this power. I mean, we can get a committee together and do nice things and track people by changing our style. Okay, nobody speak in tongues. We're going to just try to invent new ways to that will attract people intellectually. And we'll grow the church this way. We'll do these kind of things. You know, we'll, whatever we can do, we'll grow it that way. And you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing those things, but if it's that alone, then it's no good. You can put on some nice clothes, but what's inside there? In your heart, right? So, see, he's saying here in this Romans chapter 15 that the Holy Spirit was involved. Notice it said, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. He said he made the Gentiles obedient to the Word of God. That's important. Now, this is a second witness for you. A second church that he established. That he needed the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit in demonstration. You see also in Thessalonians, you see the same nature and message over there that he presents to the people. Let's go to Thessalonians, chapter 1, and let's go to read verse 1 there. First Thessalonians, chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. It's good to pray good to pray for the church, as we prayed last night for the church. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. How many people know it's a labor of love serving people, even the ones that don't love you? They don't love you back. You serve them anyway. Amen? They don't say thank you, but you serve them anyway. You don't look for thank yous. If you're looking for thank yous, you're looking to people. That's true. I mean, it's nice when people thank you, but if you're working with unruly people, they don't know how to give thanks, they're ungrateful, you serve them until they get to the place where they appreciate you. Okay? So, notice that in patience of hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need lots of patience with each other. Right? In the sight of the Lord God our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Notice this. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, when I came to you, I didn't come to preach an intellectual gospel. I came to you with something a little extra. Came to you with the power of God. You know, I think we need to know a little bit more about this power. Amen? We need to know more about the demonstrations of God's power, what he wants us to do. So that's the third witness. The third witness of the fact that any preacher, any pastor, any church needs to have a demonstration of God's power. You know, you could have a rock concert has lots of people in it. There's no Holy Spirit per se operating there, but he's there. God's everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And so it doesn't, you know, you need to have, you know, we need a demonstration. We want to see God move in our midst and have tremendous things of God. How would you like to be praying one day, God takes you to China? I remember Brother Hagin saying one day, he was like, he's praying there. He's in somewhere preaching. All of a sudden, he's at the bedside of his son-in-law, saying goodbye to him. And one day, he was a young man. He talked about his being a young man. And this is before he became a prophet. He said he was... He's a young man, and this girl was, trying to meet and get together, and she was more interested in him. But he had to discern whether or not if this is the right girl. I mean, nice-looking girl. Nothing wrong with that. You guys like nice-looking girls, don't you? Or do you like ugly ones? No. Well, you know, he was just waiting on God. And he said, one Sunday morning, he's preaching a message, and suddenly the power of God comes, and suddenly a cloud enveloped him, come over his head and covered him, and suddenly everybody disappeared. That happened to me in a service, but once. I'm in a cloud, and I begin to sense and know things. I was talking to a lady yesterday, my neighbor here, she's just right across my house. And I noticed she has a very crippled child, and she's going. I said, you need a ride or anything? She said, oh yeah, I need a ride to downtown over here, you know. I said, I'll try to be there. I'm going that way. I'm going towards Intercity. So we got to talking about old times. And she's in her 60s. And she talked about things, you know, and I said, hey, you know, remember you had that accident there? And she said, yeah, we had a horrible accident. My dad died in it, and my uncle was there. And different ones were, you know, different ones died. He said, I was in the hospital, and they took me in the hospital, and they didn't want to tell me that they all died. Those people died because they didn't want to put me in shock because I was already in shock. He said, you know, the funny thing happened to me. I came out of my body. I saw them working at me, in my body. I saw them working in there. My spirit came out of my body. How many people know the real man is inside of you? Your body is not born again until one day Jesus will give you a brand new body. He said, I saw. That's not the first time someone told me these stories. I've had several people tell me the same thing. My own mother, different people that I know personally told me. So she said, I saw them working at my body and pumping my heart. And you know, he said, I'm up there. I'm just in the presence of God. I just feel so wonderful. And then they got me going. I come back in my body. I said, I don't want to be here. I came out, she said, you know, I know there's a heaven. I know God's real. He said, it happened to me a second time. It happened to me another time where I came out. How many people want to take a trip? So, you don't want to take a trip, though, not without the Lord, your body. But, you know, you have manifestation of the Spirit. You could know things. I've been able to know some things because of the gifts of the Spirit. And you can't just have that gift, those gifts, if you're not prepared for it. Even if it manifests, you wouldn't know what to do. And you have to have faith to participate in it. You got to be able to believe God. So here you see three, you know, there's more like that in all those chapters. You know, if you begin to see it, especially if you have a certain message, you begin to see whatever message you've been taught, you begin to see the gospel in that light, whatever your enlightenment you've been receiving. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians. And see a couple more things here, and then I'll show you some tricks. No, there's no tricks. So, let's go ahead and read some more here before we go. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, 1 Corinthians 2 and 5, but in the power of God. Like, we need to begin to have faith in the power of God and God moving. He said, first of all, in verse 4, he said, in demonstration, number one, of the Spirit, and number two, of the power. The Spirit, emphasis there, what he's talking about is that his preaching was very spiritual in the sense that there's the gifts of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom were operating. The utterances that people knew as he's sitting there, they're sitting there that God is talking to them. This is not just man, this is God talking to me right now. And he's confirming things in my heart, and he's reading my notes in my heart, my mind. He knows what's going on. He, you know, just speaking right to me directly. God's doing something. But also the demonstration of God, the power of God was going on outside, the external manifestation of God. Discerning a spirit. You know, discerning a spirit is the ability of someone to read your heart, to read your motive, the motive of your heart. It's not discerning spirit just talking about just seeing devils. I mean, that's included in that, but it's more than that. It's discerning the power of God and also demonstrating the human spirit, the motives of people. And Jesus had that. He knew how to deal with people because he knew the motive of people. So he begins to, he said, howbeit, verse 6, that we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, and yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. And how do you speak the wisdom of God in the mystery? You know, one of the ways that the Bible says when you speak in tongues, you speak mysteries. First of all, it's mysterious to you because you don't understand it. But it's intelligible to God. When you speak in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14:14 says you're speaking to God by your spirit, by the Holy Spirit in you. That's what it says, 1 Corinthians 12, Amplified 14:14. When you speak in tongues, you're speaking by your inward man. Your head has nothing to do with it. You're speaking out of your spirit. You're speaking to God by the Holy Spirit in you, empowering you to speak that language. And you're praying. We talked about, you know, God having a legal ability to move in your life or the life of someone else when you pray. That's why God wants you to pray and ask him to do things in your life or the life of other people, because he has no way to operate in this world unless you ask him. We saw Matthew 18:18 and 19. And the Amplified says, whatever you forbid and cause to be lawful, unlawful in your life, God has to permit it to be lawful in your unlawful in your life as well, or lawful. Whatever you permit in your life, through your lack of praying and talking to God about stuff, he can't do anything in your life unless you pray. We spoke about that, you know, talked about that last night, about John Wesley. John Wesley, he said it seems like God is limited to do anything for humanity unless someone prays. We will not see the gifts of the Spirit unless something happens over here. You notice that every revival, somebody prayed. Somebody asked God. Somebody was praying to ask God to do something for humanity, for touching lives. So he said, verse 8, none of the princes of this world knew. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things that God had prepared for them that love him. And, you know, some of us, I used to hear the scripture a long time ago, and that's where I stopped because I thought, oh, man, you could never understand, never know what God's going to do. That just proves it right there. God's mysterious. He'll never let you know. He'll just sneak up on you one day and maybe kill you. I was scared of God. I mean, we had such a crazy idea about God, you know. Notice this. He said, verse 9, but then verse 10 says something else, but God had revealed them to us by his Spirit. But over there earlier, he said, we speak of God in the mystery. See, you have to do something if God's going to reveal something to you. First of all, you got to get close to God and fellowship with God. If we're always involved in the world, involved in I'm not talking about ungodly things. I'm just talking about just walking around all day long, having fun, laughing at people, laughing together, eating ice cream, going for coffee, just looking for entertainment. You know, what's the next thing happening? You'll hardly ever hear from God. And so he said, but God had revealed these things to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except, say, the spirit of man which is in him? Even the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He's saying that we can know things by God's Spirit. We need to know Him more. How does He speak to you? Which things we speak, notice this, which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. If we're going to get direction in life, there's something we have to do, and that is cooperate with God and ask God the way Jesus told us, to ask the Holy Spirit for His direction, and pray and seek His face and expect Him to talk to us. You know? And that's where sometimes people get off here, and all of a sudden they said, you know, different things that are not, you can tell it's not scriptural, you know. But the natural man. See, he talks about natural man, and notice this, the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You can't discern things in the natural, out of your head and out of your intellect, the things of God. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet himself judges no man. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, go back to 11 here, chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That means it's better, going to be good for you. If something's profitable, it means it's going to be good for you. Right? It's going to be good for you. Like when I'm sitting in bed, then I just say, Lord, is there something you want me to do here? What do you want me to do here? He says, pray. Well, no, I got some other things I want to do. You know, we were praying yesterday here. I told the guys, you know, we said, okay, we're going to pray about the prime minister. We're going to pray about the condition, the spiritual condition of our nation. Pray for the, and I started praying. Then suddenly I discerned just a hard time praying, you know. We were praying, you know, I said, everybody, let's pray. And everybody, and there was nobody just having a great time. And, whoo, praise God. Everybody goes, I said, okay, stop, everybody, stop. I want you to understand that it's not that exciting praying for the prime minister. I realize that and the things that we need to pray about. But show some enthusiasm and believe that God wants you to pray for them. Because it's going to be our fault if we don't pray, if we don't do something. We need to pray. You know, God can move on any man, any guy in office, if he's ungodly or not. God will move on that man and stir his heart because of us. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Whoever the leader is, we need to pray. Instead of criticizing him on Facebook, pray for him. So, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another another faith. That word faith is not general faith or everyday faith. This is extra. This is called special faith. That's when you can believe God. If God says to you, I want you to build me a church, and believe me, for $1 million, you say, woohoo, yes, Lord God, thank you, I'm believing it right now, amen. And he just drops that in you. If he tells you something like this, listen, I want you to go to ministry, you're going to go to ministry, you're going to be a pastor, and you're praying there, you say, yeah, praise God, amen, whoo, I believe it. I'm a pastor, I know I'm a pastor now. And you go and try and tell that to people, then people laugh at you. You pastor. But how do you know that? It's because God dropped it in you by faith, by a special faith. You know, pastors and leaders are called, when a God calls a pastor, it's a special faith. God drops that in them, inside of them, and then they know. And they prepare themselves and they get ready. If you don't know that you're called, you'll know. You'll just know. If you just think, I wonder if I'm called, well, then you're not called. Don't worry about it. At least not yet. You don't have to worry about it. And then notice something. I remember this, you know, when the Lord began to minister and call you for different things, we always interpret our own revelation. We just add on to it, and we get into trouble. And, Romans chapter 12 said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the removing of your mind. That's what he said. No, God wants you to have a mind. By the renewing of mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, perfect will of God, right? He said one thing. He said in there that you know, God has given him the grace and the faith. You know, when God calls you, He gives you grace and He gives you the faith. In other words, you just know how to believe. If especially you're called to a special project, you know, I'm working on a special project right now. I'm calling different ones about different things, about the things that we're doing in the next few months, you know. Talk to people, follow a lead, or just use my head about different things and pray about certain areas. And I know this, that whatever God calls you, He will grace you to do whatever He's called you to do. And I used to worry about whether I can impress anybody or not. If I can just impress anybody of how good I can preach and how much word I know. You should know word, but you know, it's like repressing your girlfriend. I'll hug her tonight and see what I can get tomorrow. No, I mean, you know, if you know your wife, you know your wife. You know, you can't just, God, if God gives you something, He'll enable you with special ability to do what you're supposed to do. Like, you know, you ever notice that with someone, you know, that, oh, look at that guy, man. How could he do that? He preaches to millions of people. Look at his television. He must be, oh, he's carrying a loud, big load. He's not carrying no load. He's not carrying nothing. It's God's grace on that person and God's faith. God puts faith in that person, a special faith to believe for different things. God gives you grace and gives you faith. But you have to still use, you have to believe, right, for different things. So, in these gifts of the Spirit, the word of knowledge, faith, or special faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these work it that one in the self-same Spirit divided severally to every man as he will. So there's 9 gifts of the Spirit that God wants us to be able to be, you know, be able to be helpful to for our lives. 9 gifts of the Spirit, they're separated in 3 different categories. You know what they are? The categories? First one is the one to speak, right? Prophecy and tongues and, you know, different ones that were different. You could see that they're divided in 3 different categories. Some of them speak, some of them reveal something, some of them do something. That's the 3 areas. And we need to see, for these to happen, these things have to happen first. First of all, number 1, I'll close with these 3 points here. If we're going to be able to discern and have this increase in our own personal lives and the life of the church, these things have to happen. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, this is the first reason why it's not happening or why how it could happen in our own lives and the life of a church. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So we see, you know, he always mentioned about the italics of gifts. He's not just talking about gifts in this chapter. He's talking more than gifts. He's talking about the way the Holy Spirit operates in our lives and how he moves in our lives. If you read the whole chapter, you notice he talks about a lot of things, not just gifts. So we call them gifts, but they're manifestations of the Spirit. There's only four that are actually gifts. There's operations, and then there's administrations in those itemized nine areas. You know, an operation of the Spirit, would be like a miracle that this person walks in here, you got no eyeball, suddenly the gift of faith is on you, bang, and you receive an eyeball. That's an operation of the Spirit. You know, the power of God operated. You can see with that eye now, eh? How many fingers do I have? You know, and they say, yeah, I see. You got 10 fingers. No, you're seeing blindly. You're seeing double. You got double the power, praise God. No. So that'd be an operation of the Spirit. If I said, you know, you right here with the glasses on, pointing at you and picking your nose. If I didn't know her, you're concerned about your child over there. And you said this afternoon to God while you're in the kitchen. You said these words to God. Then she says, well, how does he know that? He must have got some cameras or something. How does he know I said that? Well, gifts of the Spirit. It's the word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is that something happened today, right now, presently, or yesterday. That's the word of knowledge. Something happened. And then if I said to her, listen, God's telling me right now, if you would begin... to love on your daughter and you know, do these things and start believing the scriptures and for 10 days, give Pastor Roma money every day, you'll be okay. The child will live and not die. Whatever. I mean, you know, I'm just being funny about it. But if I said, if you do this in the next week or so, next 10 days, so now I'm giving instructions to her and tell them what's going to happen in the future. That's the word of wisdom. And if I said to her, you've been very depressed, and you've been giving up, and you feel like you want to give up, and you're just lonely and sad about the whole situation. I'm reading her heart right now. I'm reading condition of her heart. And she says, I'm going to quit church, and I'm not going to go to church. I'm not believing God anymore. What's the use of giving God money and serving him? I'm reading her heart. I'm reading her intentions. I'm reading her motives. What is that? That's discerning a spirit. I'm reading her spirit. I'm reading her heart and reading her intentions. But also gave her direction by the word of wisdom and say, here's what you have to do in the next little while, and this is going to happen if you do this. So that's the word of wisdom. Word of wisdom always deals with the future, and it gives a person faith to start believing for something because I read her heart. I know what she's feeling. That's happened to me a number of times. I went to church service, and I didn't know. I mean, I was struggling with the fact. I had no understanding of what I understand today about God calling me and all that stuff. I was so confused. And besides, of all the stuff that's happened to me, I would have quit a long time ago. And if you didn't know God called you, you wouldn't be here. Right? You wouldn't waste one moment. And you know that you're doing something more than the natural. I was telling the Lord yesterday, you know, Lord, If I was in the world, I'd already have my pension. I'd have a pension. I'd probably have a cottage. I'd probably have a, you know, a little cabin over there. I have holidays. I've been serving you. I don't have no cabin. Sometimes God's so poor, not even somebody said, didn't he have a stick of gum? Or a stick horse to ride? Amen? And so, you know, and you talk to God, and you know, you say different things. You know, I know God more than anything else because, you know, God always settles up. Yeah. It don't matter, you know, the Lord will talk to you about different things, you know. He always, when you show God that you want to serve him, he's going to always make it up. Mm-hmm. I remember Brother Hagin always said, you know, hey, he worked so many years in ministry, and he said to the Lord, Lord, you know, I gave up all my life. I mean, I serve you. I traveled all these places. I don't have good clothes, and my car is just broken down, and, you know, he had to deal with it. What did you got to do? What do you got to do, Ernie? Don't look at me like that. You look like Sully. And so, you know, we understand that we need the gifts of the Spirit. And here's the first reason why we're not seeing the manifestation like we should. As people, as individual, and as a church. Most people don't believe this. And that is, concerning spiritual gifts or things concerning the Holy Spirit and the way he operates and moves, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The first thing that we have to deal with is our ignorance about the Holy Spirit and what he does and what he's supposed to do in our lives. How can we live with somebody if we don't know what he's going to do? If he's going to talk to you. If we're just you hang around somebody every day, and if he's there every day around you, you don't even talk to him. He's just hanging around with you. He's just walking around with you all day. The Holy Spirit's right there all the time. You don't ask him anything. You just everything you want to do, you just Google it. You don't invite him to ask you to lead you. And so we have to be able to I had a funny thing today. Some pastor calls me and says, you know what? I want to know if you have anybody, you know, and you know anybody that we need some pastors over here in Newfoundland. I immediately talk about two people. He said, we need some people back over here in Newfoundland. There's two churches right now that can put two pastors right in there right away. Not just two pastors, one church, but two churches. So he guess he wants me to call Pastor Steve, so I called Pastor Steve. And he laughed at me. So I hung up the phone, and it's so funny anyway. But anyway, it wasn't for him. He's going to ask again another time. I remember asking, I bugged Pastor Glenn. He's in university. I said, Glenn, you know, please, we need you, man. What's the guy in Dallas, the big church, Pastor Joel? He says, we need you. We love you. You know, he says that all the time. He said, you know, if somebody's in church, you got to tell them you need them. So I was telling the pastor, Glenn, I said, Glenn, we need you, man. He looks at me like, you know. I bugged him all the time. I said, you know, when you finish university, come work with us, man. We need you. We need you here. He tried to run away. He had a heart attack, too. Yeah. Remember? He was playing hockey. He's just playing hockey, just doing on his own. And he had a heart attack. 38 years old, I think he was, or 34 years old. And tried to run away from God. We went to see him in the hospital, prayed for him. at the ICU, and you know, he was running away. Don't run away from God. So I ran. I would talk to him. I said, Pastor Glenn, you know, he's working in another area. He went to work in a secular field. I said, Pastor Glenn, we need you. I put you right now in Geraldton. I've been traveling there for a long time. No way, man. I never go to Geraldton. So don't say I'm not going to Newfoundland. No one will ever say that. I said, Pastor Steve, I'll go. If I want, you know, Lord, I'll go. And Anita says, so anyway, I just want to know where the Lord wants to lead, you know. But so, you know, we have to know by discernment what God wants us to do. So first of all, you need some education. Find out all you know, need to know about what the Holy Spirit and how he operates and how he talks to you. Find out how he operates in prayer, how he leads in prayer. And that's how I got leading to go to Tulsa. I was praying, the Spirit of God spoke to me and out loud in my spirit and said, I want you to go to Tulsa. That's how we got going. We had no money. If he didn't speak to me, if I didn't know in the Spirit, I wouldn't have gone. I would have not gone. So he'll talk to you, number one. Number one is that you cannot be ignorant. Verse 14 says, follow after charity. Everything you do must be in love. Everything that, you know, if you don't walk in love about anything, you're going to miss God completely. That's the golden rule of all Christianity, is walk in love with your attitude and the way you do everything. Love God. Love his people. And desire spiritual gifts. First of all, secondly, you have to be able to have a deep hunger for the moving of God in your life. You got to hunger for God. You got to want God, hunger so much, like you want to eat something that, you know, you're hungry for whatever food. You just got to have a deep hunger. I want to tell you something. I had those experiences. I've had some experiences in the Spirit. It's not because it was by accident. I was digging into the Word. I'm reading spiritual books all the time. I'm praying day and night. I'm reading my Bible. I'm listening to tapes all night. I threw all my secular music out. All I'm listening to is tapes. Nobody told me to do it. I did it myself. I just fell on my own. Not just 6 months. Not just, you know, I mean, year after year. Didn't listen to the radio. Didn't turn on radio. If the radio was on, I wouldn't probably listen to it. But I just didn't listen to radio. Didn't watch television. 80s music, I'm listening to now. I said, was that on in the 80s? That's good stuff. But, you know, I'm telling you, I'm just saying this for me. Now, don't get religious on me and say, well, I got to turn off my... No, I'm just telling you what I did, how hungry I was for God. I had that experience. The Holy Spirit come visit me in my room. I'm reading a book. Not because it just was Biggleswood alone. Yes, there was a key in that, but also there was some other things. By the gifts of the Spirit. God transferred to me a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom while I'm standing there in my room. Suddenly I know something. I know I'm called. God verified it. And I remember Brother Higgins said, one of the mark of a man of God is that they'll have a deep spiritual conviction that God called them, and they'll have an encounter where they cannot deny God called them. And so that happened. God gave me a deep conviction and put in my heart. Solid. Solid. And that's what's and the last one, let me give you this. It's 8 minutes after. You can stand a little bit more. Just one more. You know how it is when you used to go drinking? Just come on, just one more. Hey, ooh, we're talking about one more night, one more week. You know, when you're drinking, I remember when you're drinking, you don't care about if you wash your clothes, change your shorts, whatever. You just went on for days. One guy said to the AA meeting, he said, I woke up one day, my shorts was gone, just rocked right out. That's what he said. I'm listening to these guys, and man, this guy must have drank a long time. Burned himself right out. He said, my underwear is so dirty, I just changed it inside out, put the inside the other way. Well, I'm telling you the truth. That's what happened to these people. We're going to edit this program out, so I'm telling you something. Is my editor sleeping? He just leaves that all on. Just one more scripture. One more scripture. Acts chapter 4. And this is something that we need to know. If we're going to see this happening, not just one guy, when he says, and I, brethren, I could not speak to you spiritually, you know, all that, he said, you know, I would that you all desire this. He didn't talk to one man, he talked to everybody. Everybody here has to desire the move of the Spirit. Not just me and Pastor Ken. We could have a little move of God over here. He gives me an offering, I give him an offering. I pick him up, he picks me up. Then he says, "Woo, wasn't that great?" I said, "Yeah, it was great, man." Let's go for a sandwich, okay. Acts 4, did you find Acts 4? This really, we're going to finish this. And verse 23 says, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant to thy servants," "and be let go, they went to their own company." Somebody said, you got to be with your own company, right? People that believe like you. And they don't mind if somebody, you know, they don't mind the gifts of the Spirit. If you say, I don't want that gifts of the Spirit, you know, well. They reported all the chief priests, the elders had said to them, and then when they heard that, they lifted up their voice. They lifted up their voices to God with one accord. They, not just one guy was doing it, but they all did it at once. Whoa, whoo, they were one accord. Power of God comes when people start being one. Now, 29. First of all, in the preceding verses, verse 25, 26, 27, 28, he is quoting the Old Testament. He was telling God what God would do. And he was reminding God about what he said in his Bible. And then he asked God, he had the audacity to ask God in verse 29 and 30, 31, what he should do, what he would do. Until we get bold enough as a church to ask God to move in our service, and someone right here is blind. I want to see people get blind. I'm telling you about it. You, all of us need to have that desire. Lord, do it. Yeah. Do it. Not just three people. But what we need to do it as a church. Believe God as a church. And then he said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. He's talking about those people who were putting them in jail and that. That told him not to use the name of Jesus. Granted that I serve him with all boldness, they may speak that word. More than ever, be a stickler for the word of God. By stretching forth thine hand, which the hand? The hand of God is the power of the Holy Spirit. They use that term in the Old Testament, the hand of God, as God moving by his Spirit, the hand of God. And that signs and wonders be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Notice that. Signs and wonders. Stretch forth that hand to heal. What's he talking about? He's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the power gifts of the Spirit. They're praying to God that the power gifts, the manifestation of the power gifts, would be in demonstration in the church. They're believing God. They're praying together that God, you said, that, you know, these guys were Jewish people. They knew the Old Testament. They had the Bible. And so they're asking God, do it again over here, Lord. Do it here for us. Stretch forth your hand over here. like you did in times of old. The question for us, can he do it? Can we get out of our ignorance, and can we begin to hunger for God? Somebody said, if you don't hunger for God, you don't read your Bible, you don't want to go to church, you're sick spiritually. Because anybody that doesn't have an appetite in the natural for food, and he sees food, he runs away from it, and that person is sick. Somebody said, ever sick? I'm serious about that, because you have no appetite. You have no appetite for spiritual things. You don't want to sing. I remember when I got first saved, I want to sing. I want to just sing all the time. But full gospel meetings, they sing all these courses. Just sing full gospel meetings, Just sing songs. I mean, I was just singing AC/DC before. Now I'm singing these songs, and I'm enjoying them. Once you get God touch your life, if I was delivered out of the street. And I'm so happy I don't have to live on the street. I got a nice place to stay. I don't get beaten up anymore and people bugging me for money. I was down telling you the other day, guys asking me money. I said no. And then I broke down. I turned back and gave him money. Especially if I see my cousins, I'm just down another $20. We gotta, first of all, say, I will not be ignorant. Say, I will be hungry for the move of God. Say, I will pray and ask God to move among us. Stand up and let's go ahead and stand. And I want you to start to praise God about this idea. You begin to thank God. Say, Lord, thank you. Not just say one time, just go ahead and keep saying. Say it a couple more extra times. Amen. Lord, we want to thank you. We give you praise that you're going to do it for us, because you said in your word you would do it. So I give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You said in your word what you said you will do. We will see the miraculous. We will see the supernatural. We will have demonstrations of God's power. We will have the gifts of the Spirit of demonstration. People are getting hungry in this church. They're getting hungry more and more. They'll know things by the Spirit about their husbands and wives. They'll know things about the Spirit about their children. God will tell on their children, and they'll know things. They cannot lie, because God will tell them everything. God will speak to them, and God will show them things, and God will show them how to avoid things. God will show them where to spend money and where to shop and where to give offerings and how to get offerings. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit, and that we'll be invigorated. We'll be so enthusiastic with the power of God in us. I want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Say, thank you, Lord. Say, it's happening. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. Listen, if you haven't received Jesus tonight, you go ahead and say, God, I want to thank you for sending Jesus Christ. Thank you for this service. And right now, call upon the name of the Lord. And right now, we're going to take the offering right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for saving my life, Lord. Thank you that I'm born again. Thank you that I'm now your child, because I've called on your name.